Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 this morning. I want to go ahead and invite you to turn your Bibles there. As you do, a couple of things. 2 weeks ago, we started a series where we're going to be walking through together on Sunday morning in worship the passages that have influenced our mission statement as a church. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus' last command to the disciples. And we see that he commands them to make disciples. And we looked at and we kind of peeled the layers back in those verses and see that when that is carried out by his disciples, what happens is disciples are made who actually go and make disciples. And so that's the first part of our mission statement. Eastside Baptist Church is committed to making disciples who make disciples. And this morning we're going to look at another passage, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that kind of influences, not kind of, but does influence the next part of our mission statement. And you may ask, Pastor Andrew, why are we looking at this? There's so much going on in our world. There's so much going on in my life. I'm just not sure how this connects with where I'm at today. I just want to say to you, if we cling to the mission of God as individuals and as a church, we are promised some things as we carry out his mission. And one of those things is joy. The most significant thing is his presence. And the beautiful thing is that as long as he has us here, he enables us to carry this out in spite of our situation. And if we are carrying this out, then we are also reminding ourselves of the hope we have in Christ because of his resurrection in spite of any situation we're in. So whether you're here and your days are good or you're here and your days are filled with suffering, I want to say to you, this applies. It does. It does. And there is purpose for you in the midst of your good days. There is purpose for you in the midst of your days that are filled with suffering in God's Word. And that is good news. Read with me. I want to read verses 6 through 8 in Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What we find here is that it is another account by Luke this time of some of Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. In Matthew 28, we find a different account of the same setting. We get a different view here from Luke. And what we find is that Jesus points his followers, and today points the church, to the who of what we're supposed to do, the what of what we're supposed to do, and the where of what we're supposed to do. So Jesus focused his disciples on the who, the what, and the where. Look at verse 6. Look at what the disciples asked. They say, so when they had come together, that's the disciples, they asked him, and remember, this is after the resurrection. They're gathering to Jesus, and they're like, okay, Jesus, you are alive. You were dead, but you're alive now. What do we do? Are you going to establish the kingdom now? Please tell us yes. When, Lord? When are you going to establish the kingdom? How much longer? You can think about this. How much longer will we have to deal with the people that killed you? We don't want to have to deal with them. We don't want to have to worry about them. How much longer will we have to deal with our spiritual enemy who is influencing these people? How much longer will we have to deal with the possibility and the reality of suffering in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones? So is it now, Jesus? Are you establishing the kingdom now? It's kind of like they had picked up a book, a good book, read the first chapter, and then they flipped to the end, and they wanted to be at the last chapter. When, Jesus? And notice what Jesus says in verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Jesus politely says, "None of your business." Right? Don't worry about that. The Father has that handled. Here's what you need to worry about. Verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He gives them the who. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." The Holy Spirit is the who. If not now, when, Jesus? No. Let me tell you who's going to be with you until then. The third person of the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. He's not leaving you. And there's nothing new or unique. This wouldn't have been surprising to the disciples. It may have been in the context that they have heard and seen other people have the Holy Spirit kind of come upon them, but never all of God's people at one time. So that aspect would have been surprising, but God's presence wouldn't have. We see God's promise to Moses in Exodus 3, "But I will be with you." God's promise to his people in Exodus 33, "My presence will go with you." Jonah attempted in the book of Jonah, the prophet of Jonah in the Old Testament, he attempted to escape God's presence foolishly. Jonah 1, verse 3, it says, Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah knew it. He knew the Lord was with him. And he found out the Lord was still with him even when he tried to escape the Lord's presence. God's promise to his people in Isaiah 41, "Fear not." Why do we not fear? "For I am with you." The Great Commission that we looked at last week, the last part of it, Matthew 28, verse 20 says, "Behold," after he tells them, "make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I am with you always." And here Jesus says, no, don't worry about the when, worry about the who. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, will be with you. And not only that, because of that, you will have power to do what he's telling you to do, to do what I'm telling you to do. So this wasn't exclusive to just the 11 disciples that were present. We see that in Acts chapter 2, the believers, all the believers, 120 of them, were filled with the Spirit. We see in Colossians chapter 1 that Paul says, he says this about himself, but he's teaching the church about the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." He's applying the power of the Holy Spirit to himself working among the church. So when Jesus was asked when, he said, don't worry about when, worry about who. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. Not only that, but think about the comfort this gave them. God, the Holy Spirit, was going to be with them. Their comfort wasn't in knowing, and Jesus wasn't offering comfort in telling them, okay, on this date, you can expect me to be back in the flesh. That wasn't the comfort he offered. The comfort he offered was, God, the Holy Spirit, will be here the whole time. He's going to come and he's going to stay and he will be with and in his people. That is comfort. So in spite of the suffering you face, in spite of the enemies you may face, in spite of the obstacles you may face as a church, as individuals, as families, if you know the Lord is with you. What was the task? He gave them the who, he gives them the what. He says in verse 8, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." witnesses there is a legal term. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. Fact. And it's kind of a command at the same time. This is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. This is what you must do. Be my witnesses. Legal term. The same way we would use it in court today. Someone who is a witness is someone who speaks to what they have seen, heard, and experienced. The word there in the Greek is actually the word that we get our word martyr from. Because many of the people who spoke of what they heard and seen and experienced of Jesus actually died because of that. So he says, you are going to be my witnesses, going into all the world, testifying as to who I am because of what you've experienced in me. You will be my witnesses. They would testify to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So, Christian, you have confessed, I have confessed as believers, we have confessed that we believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we have placed faith in him, not as our friend, but as our Lord and our Savior. And because of that, and the Holy Spirit's work on us in the midst of that, we know him. And we can tell others what we have seen, heard, and experienced of Jesus because he is in us. The same was true of them. Notice that someone who doesn't know Jesus in that way cannot testify of his life, death, and resurrection unless they have first believed it. So if you haven't, that's the invitation to you. Look at the life, death, and resurrection. The call to you is a faith. Believe. And if he is alive, then he is worthy to be your Lord. And he is able to save your soul. It's good news. It is good news. When we combine this passage with Matthew 28:18-20, what we looked at last week, making disciples, and we see this passage combining making disciples with being witnesses of what we have seen and heard about Jesus, we kind of get a full picture of evangelism and discipleship. To make disciples, where it starts is to testify about who Jesus is, his life, death, and resurrection. And then baptize them, and then teach them to observe all he's commanded. So we see the who. The Holy Spirit is with the followers of Jesus, with the disciples of Jesus. And we have the what. What are they supposed to do with the Holy Spirit in them and upon them and with them? They're to be his witnesses. And finally, we get the where. We get the where. Look at the end of verse 8. He says, you will be my witnesses. And he doesn't stop there. He could have stopped there, but he didn't. He gave them specific directions, a map, if you will, in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Many of you have heard this taught or preached. Jerusalem was their home. It was where the people lived that they knew and were like them. Sounded like them, ate the same food as them, talked like they talked, dressed like they dressed. So you will testify to the people that you know and are like you. And then he goes out a little bit further. He says, in Judea and all Samaria. And Judea would have been the people that were like them, but they didn't know. So for us, it would be like testifying to the people that are just like us in Thomas County and in Grady County, in Decatur County, in addition to the people in Grady County. They're like us. They're from the same area as us, but we may not know them. We have a responsibility to witness to them as well. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and Samaria. Those are the people that are near us but aren't like us. In fact, they may even be our enemies. They don't sound like us. They don't look like us. They don't dress like us. They don't eat the same food as us. Heaven's going to be filled with those people, by the way. And Jesus is saying, you are to be witnesses to Judea and Samaria. For the Jew who lived in Jerusalem, The Samaritan was very different for a host of different reasons. They did not intersect. They did not want to intersect for the most part. And Jesus says, you will not only intersect with them, but you will work on their behalf to be their witnesses, be witnesses for Jesus in front of them for their sake and for the sake of the name of Jesus. And then he doesn't stop there. This job's getting pretty big of testifying about Jesus. Your own town, the people around you that you know and don't know that are like you, and the people that you don't even intersect with that are around you. And then Jesus goes ahead and he just brings it on out to the end of the earth at the end of 8, verse 8. To the end of the earth. You will be my witnesses. So that all have heard about the good news of Jesus and all have the opportunity to respond in faith to Jesus. This was a pretty big job for 120 people. But notice beginning in verse 8, who was going to be with them? The Holy Spirit. They could not forsake the people in their own homes and complete or be obedient to the Lord's command here. But they also could not forsake the people on the other side of the world and remain obedient to the work that the Lord called them to here. Sometimes we do one or the other. We are really good at being witnesses at home, to our families, to our children, grandchildren, neighbors, co-workers. But we neglect those that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Or we do it the other way around. We are passionate about the nations going, 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 but we neglect our own children, our own co-workers. And Jesus has called us to all of it. And we would look at this and we go, this is impossibly large, Lord. And that's when we're reminded that it is not by our power, our strength, our wisdom that we will be able to do this. By the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why in our mission statement it says, Eastside Baptist Church is committed to making disciples who make disciples in Grady County and around the world. Because we are trying to align ourselves and put ourselves in a position where we can be obedient as a people to his commands. This is this display up here, these backpacks. They're going to Appalachia. You could say that that would be a little bit like our Judea. Some of these children may know the Lord, some of them may not, but they will hear about the Lord when they read the card or read the card that is in there. They'll experience the love of the Lord. Those who give to Anastasia Baptist will have an opportunity to display the love of Christ in a tangible way to those who know the Lord and those who may not know the Lord in the St. Augustine area. But we also have continued, like Vacation Bible School coming up here in just a few weeks, very quickly, by the way, soon. Where we will reach out to families. Some will know the Lord and some will not. And so our missions committee specifically is working to put us in a position as a church where we can go home, share the gospel. We can go to our town and share the gospel. We can go to our state and surrounding states, share the gospel. We can go to the world and share the gospel. And find ourselves obediently and joyfully obeying the Lord to be his witnesses from our home to the ends of the earth. We can't neglect one for the other. And we see this happen in the book of Acts. It begins in Jerusalem, then they spread out to Judea and Samaria, and then on out to the ends of the earth. By the end of the book of Acts, they're in Rome proclaiming the gospel to the epicenter of business and culture in the world at that time. So, as we think about this as a church, but not just as a church, as individuals, I want us to think about this in our own lives, in our own home. And I want us to ask a couple of questions of ourselves. Do the people who see you in your daily life recognize you as a witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? If you're a parent, your children, your spouse, if you're a grandparent, your grandchildren, your children, your extended family, if you're a single person, your coworkers, and your extended family, wherever you are in life, do the people that see you on a daily basis in and out recognize you as that? He may be this, she may be this, they may do this and this and this, but first and foremost, they testify to who Jesus is and they believe it. Do they? Can they see that? Do they hear it? In court, witnesses aren't silent. They speak to what they have seen and heard, right? So we must also speak to what we have seen and heard. We need to ask that question of our lives. And then we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged as individuals, Christians. If you feel convicted about this, be encouraged and know that if it is intimidating to you to try and get a regular prayer time with your children going, regular time in the Word with your children going, know that the Lord is with you. If you're struggling going to work and being a witness at work or being a witness amongst your extended family and neighbors, know that the Lord is with you to help you do that very thing. Church, we are a small church and we are called to large things. And it shouldn't intimidate us because we aren't called to do them in and of ourselves. We are called to do them by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us and among us. Praise God. So we should be encouraged when we read this. Wow, what a mission. Wow, what power He has given us in His Spirit to accomplish this in the midst of our everyday lives, good or bad. What would happen if just Eastside, we're not the only ones, but what would happen if just Eastside became obedient to this and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we as individuals and as a people were known as His witnesses here? And we were going to our state, we were going to our nation, we were going to the nations. What joy. What joy. A couple of ways we can respond this morning. If you're a believer here, I want to invite you to pray with me. Father, give us a heart for the people in my home. Give us a heart for the people in our town. Give us a heart for the people we can't even say their names because we don't know how on the other side of the world. Give us a heart to see people that don't know you come to know you. Lord, give us that heart. We see His heart there. That is what His heart is. Lord, give us that heart. Will you pray that with me this morning as a Christian, as an Eastside church member? Perhaps this morning, you just need to respond in faith. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is historical fact. And if it is, He is worthy of your trust. And He is able to save. Would you place your faith in Him this morning? Let's pray and we're going to sing. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are worthy of worship and praise and adoration. Thank you that you are good to us. You are good, period. You are righteous and just, Lord, and you have called your people to testify to your goodness, specifically in the good news of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart for our homes, a heart for our Cairo and Grady County, a heart for those who don't know you anywhere and everywhere, and the ability, the opportunity to go and take the good news of Jesus. God, I pray that you would lead us to not neglect any one of those areas. Help us to be a people known as your witnesses. God, would you work among us, not just now, but in the minutes, hours, days to come, to lead us to the point where the people around us know us as yours. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Days gone, all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven, and I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing all my life.